morning as we read James chapter 1, beginning with verse 22. James says, "But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I'm really looking forward to this teaching series that Justin and I are starting. And oh, by the way, speaking of Justin, they're in Alabama. They're taking a little vacation down there to be with Stacy's parents. Justin, if you don't know, is our associate, and his wife is Stacy and little Zoe. And so they went down there and are going to spend some time with Stacy's parents. And so make sure you keep them in your prayers for safe travels and that they just have a nice, relaxing time. But we're beginning today a teaching series called Life Apps. Life Apps. And it's going to be about several specific life applications for Christians from the Bible. And what we will discover over the next few weeks is that application is what makes all the difference. Believing is fine. Having good intentions to do these things is okay. But when you think about it, it is actually what you do that makes a difference. As a matter of fact, this logic is in most of our upbringing. If you've probably heard this statement, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So deep down in our subconscious, we understand this logic. Application makes all the difference. It's what you do that matters. It is how you live your life that makes a difference in the world that God created. Believing is great. We need to believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But the scriptural idea of believing is that it will change your life. Believing changes the way you live your life. As a matter of fact, the word repentance, when you believe, you repent. And that very concept is turning physically toward God with your life. Whatever direction you were going before, when you repent, the Greek word that we get the word repent from literally means to turn toward God. So the idea of believing in the Bible is, again, a verb, like the word love is a verb, or I am that we call God is a verb. Now, many of us have these, what do you call them? Smartphones? And, you know, it's amazing that we call them smartphones because without apps, they don't have a clue what to do, right? Now, how many of you have smartphones? Very many of you? Yeah. And so when you apps, essentially, on these smartphones, they are little computer programs that tell your phone what to do. Like, for instance, I have a Bible app. And it gives me a scripture every day, and I can not only read the scripture, but it has a Bible study that goes right along with it. And it's kind of like an alarm. It reminds me, hey, I haven't done this yet today. I need to do this now. I have a course email. I have camera. Let me see. I don't think it'll break the lens or break the screen any worse than it already is. Well, looky there. I'm going to put that out on Facebook. But speaking of Facebook, you have a Facebook app on your smartphones? Yeah. You know, without these apps, your smartphone has no way of being smart, actually, right? And so, anyway, as we were thinking about this, we thought it would be pretty cool to do a teaching series around this, and this is why. This is where this came from. Listen to some of these statistics on apps for smartphone users. As of February 2012, nearly half of American adults, 46%, had a smartphone. In May of 2011, that number was 35%, and so in that 8 months, it increased 11%, and I'm sure it's even higher than that now. Now, listen to this. 43% of young people ages 18 to 24 buy smartphones on a yearly income of $15,000. So think about that. They are willing to make sacrifices to have a smartphone. 26% of the apps downloaded last year were used only one time. Smartphone owners downloaded an average of 30 to 35 apps for their phones. Do you have 30 to 35 apps on your phones? Huh? 68% of smartphone users used only 5 to 6 apps per week. And only 16 to 17% of the apps that you have on your phone are used on average. And it's really interesting, as I said before, it got Justin's and it got my attention, how these statistics, they show an interesting reality in our lives. And that reality is, just like people love to collect and gather apps for their smartphones and never use them, people love to collect and gather information or tools but never apply them to their life. There are even reality shows now that talk about and show extreme cases of this in people's lives. It's called Hoarders. Anybody ever seen that reality show, Hoarders? Yeah, it is something else. It's hard for me to watch. It's hard for me to watch. These people have a psychological issue where they hoard these items and they cannot get rid of them. I mean, it's bad enough in their homes. If you've never seen it, there is literally and barely a path from the chair that they sit in to the bathroom, for instance. They sleep in their chair, they eat in their chair, and they make one path to the bathroom, and that's about the only... And then once they get in the bathroom, they can barely turn around because there's stacks of newspaper. It's so bad that whenever this show, The Hoarders, whenever they go in there and clean out the house, a lot of times they'll find dead cats that the person didn't even know was missing. I mean, it's just amazing. The smell is absolutely horrific. Of course, you can't smell through the TV, but the reaction of the people, you can tell that it is not good. They fill their house to the point that there is barely room to move, and it's both amazing and sad. Now, for many, it's the same way with their smartphones. They have so many apps that the memory is full. Anybody here have no more memory left in their smartphone because they've overloaded it with apps? Huh? They don't use most of the apps, but they can't let them go. It's like, I'm one of those. I have a deal called, it's a really cool app, guys. You ought to get it. It's called Fugicate. You ever heard of it? Food, U-Kate? Like, anyway. All right. So, and what you do is, like, whenever you're going in the grocery store, you bar scan the product, and it tells you how healthy or unhealthy it is. It'll tell you the chemicals that are in the food, which it changes the way you look at some foods, right? And things like that. Now, obviously, I don't use it enough. But it's really cool. But you know what? I can't remember the last time I used that. But by George, I have it in case I need it. Right? So, you know, I mean, so many of us are that way. We get our cell phones or our smartphones so full of apps that we hardly ever use, and that the phones move so slowly that they really don't hardly even work anymore. Now, as I push this idea even farther, many of us are this way with Christian principles. Have you ever thought about that? We like hearing teaching. We like hearing insightful words, but we don't like to apply it to our lives. Have you ever thought about that? God bless you. We simply get comfortable and make the Word of God subjective. And we say, yeah, Justin, yeah, Eric, that sounds like a great idea for a real Christian's life, but I can't use it in my life. You don't understand. You don't know me. I can't use those things in my life. And no application takes place. It's unfortunate how many of us Christians are collectors of information and never end up applying those lessons to our own lives. We want to be generous, but we find an excuse not to be. We want to be gracious and forgiving, but you know, we'll start tomorrow, right? We'll start tomorrow. You see, we know many things. But for some reason, it never moves to application, which is heart and hands. It never moves to application in our lives. That's why John Wesley, he always talked about head, heart, and hands, because it needs to move from knowledge to heart, and that's how it changes your life. That's the believing part, whenever it moves into your heart and it changes your life. We know many things, but for some reason it never moves to application in our lives. Pardon me. So let's see what Scripture tells us about this syndrome. Now there are two people in the Bible that blatantly talk about this idea. One is Jesus and the other is his brother James. Now I have to admit, I grew up with the book of James because Dad absolutely loved the book of James. And I thought it was only right to use it on Father's Day, right? So let's look at James today. If you have your Bibles there, now know that the red Bibles that are in the pew are our Revised Standard Version, all right? They still have the these and the thous and all that. My Bible and what's up on the screen is New Revised Standard Version. So really the only difference should be all the these and the thous are taken out. So just so you know, let's look at James 1, verse 22. James 1, 22. What does James say? Now remember, this is Jesus' brother. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers, who deceive themselves. Be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. You see, James is talking about attention here. The early church, really, people weren't that much different than today's church. Different from us, as a matter of fact. And if you think about it, what he is talking about is happening right here, right now, today. There is a sense in which people think, if I'm in the building, right? If I'm in the building, I get credit. Right? Now, what you've probably heard me say before, it's a 1950s mentality. You know, everybody comes to church, right? Everybody comes to church. As a matter of fact, in the 1950s, more business took place on Sunday morning in worship than it did Monday through Friday most of the time. Right? Because businessmen met in the church, right? We have so much like smartphones now that a lot of communication happens elsewhere now. But then that was a place where everybody came together. Not only businessmen, but families to see how things were going. How's the family getting along, right? That's how you communicated and shared with one another. But the thing is, many times we get this sense that when we're in the building, we get credit. Many believe that God looks down and goes, he's in church, bless his heart. Hey guys, how you doing? She's in church. Oh, that is so awesome. I'm so glad that they're in church, right? Tomorrow, I know I'm going to get a promotion at work because I was in church today. Whenever I go to Walmart, I'm going to get the parking spot right up there at the door. Just because I was in church today. What do you think? You don't think so? You just blew my whole sermon out of the water. Or students, if this were school year, I'm going to get a great grade on my test. Why? Because I was in church on Sunday, right? No. For some reason, we believe that God is excited that we're in the house enduring the sermon. Of course, you guys don't have to endure a sermon, do you? It's like we're doing God a favor. Right? Sometimes I feel that way. I think all of us do at some point. Sometimes you feel like, God, I'm here. Look at me. I'm here, God. Right? Now, the preacher is always very excited to see you on Sunday. But God, he's like, you know what? why should I be excited about something you're supposed to be doing? Right? Why should I have to beg you to do something you're supposed to be doing? You know, it's interesting. Like whenever you had kids, or now if you have children and you go to school, do they say, "Oh, Mom or Dad, thank you so much for coming to pick me up. I am so glad you're here." No, it's not their fault they're your kid, right? It's your job. Make sure you pick them up from school, right? I mean, it's just the way it is. Does your boss, whenever you walk in on Monday or whenever you go to church or, well, whenever you go to work, do they say, "Oh, I am so glad that you're here this week. It is great to see you"? No. Why? You're supposed to be there. It's your job, right? Now, coming to church and living like a Christian is not a job, but the thing is, that's the way you're supposed to live. That's the way God called us to live. Does that make sense? So why should God dance up and down, jump up and down and dance around? Excuse me. Because you're supposed to be here. You were created to worship God. You were created to be in corporate worship together, one with another. But for some reason, we believe that God is excited when we're in the house, like we're doing Him a favor. We think God gives us credit for simply being here, and we think we are more religious or more better, a more better person. That's good English, isn't it? And what does James say? Not merely hears who what? We deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. What is the first few words of that sentence there? But be doers of the word. Be doers of the word. You see, believing is great, but doing is everything. Application is everything. Now, our next 23 and 24, James says, "For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like." Now, it's interesting. Back in this day, they didn't have mirrors like we think of mirrors. I mean, you may not think about that, but they looked at maybe a polished piece of metal, or they maybe looked at their reflection in the water whenever they wash their face in the morning or whatever. They didn't have these nice pristine mirrors that show every dot, and I guess a tittle and a dot are the same thing, aren't they? But anyway, you understand what I'm saying? And it's interesting that James uses this example, that it's as if they look at themselves in a mirror and on going away immediately forget what they were like. You see, James is saying that those who come to worship and hear God's word and then leave without living differently. They leave without talking differently. They leave without seeing with different eyes or hearing with different ears. They are like those who look in a mirror and upon walking away forget what they look like. Now, I have to tell you a story that before the first service wasn't heard. I grew up in a little town. I think there was like 1,400 people, something like that. And so basketball was everything in that town. Small towns can have good basketball teams. You know, statistically, you can put five guys on the court that are fairly decent, right, out of the population. And I mean, we had great basketball teams. And all because of that, we always wanted to go to the state playoffs down in Columbia. I was up from Northwest Missouri, so that was down from there. And so anyway, we would go every year to these, the state, you know, is like 3 or 4 days, state championship in the 1A playoffs. All right, so now, I would go for the basketball, but I would also go for the girls. I got to be honest with you, right? So yeah, I was watching basketball, but I was also paying attention to the girls, right? So you have to understand, now picture this in your mind. You know, if you've been in the Mizzou Arena, you can think about that, the basketball court down there and these tall. And somehow this girl and I, we met on the bleachers there and we sat and I was talking to her. And at some point I had to use the restroom and I went up. And when I looked in the mirror, I had a big old zit right on the side of my nose. Now, can you imagine how many shades of red I was when I looked in that mirror? Right? And so here I was going, oh, dear God, what am I doing, right? And so now think about it. Here I am in high school, right? Some of you had pimple problems, like, you know, you understand. It's like, oh, dear Jesus, what did I do to get this, right? Yeah. Now, here's the thing. James is saying this. I could look in the mirror and see that pimple and not do anything about it and walk away as if nothing was there. James is saying those are the people that deceive themselves. That metaphorical pimple that we have when we look in that mirror, we can see it. We know ourselves, don't we? And yet when we walk away from that mirror, we forget about that person, that thing in our life that we know is not right. That's what James is saying when he says, don't just be hearers of the word who go away and immediately forget what they were like. James 1:25. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, some versions say freedom, same thing, law of liberty, law of freedom, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. So what does James say is the difference for those who do versus the hearers? What does he say is the difference? They will be blessed in their doing. Now, I don't know about you, but if you think about this concept of freedom, whenever I was growing up, I thought of church as kind of restrictive. You know, the should and should nots. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, man, this isn't fun at all, right? What in the world would James mean by freedom? If we look into the perfect law, the law of freedom, and persevere, what would that mean? Now, I don't know about you, and in my little, well, it's becoming more experience, but in my little experience, there are things that I've done in my life when I knew at the time that God wouldn't be pleased with this. Mom always had this saying whenever I was in college, Eric, never do anything that you'd be embarrassed if Jesus walked in the room. And you know the funny thing about that is I always thought about that no matter where I was. Even if it didn't faze me, in the back of my mind I was going, what would Jesus think if I... And you know that what's amazing about that is, at the time it may feel like it's restrictive, that it's like not freedom, but later on you understand that gives you greater freedom when you don't make bad choices. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, in our culture today, it has made such a farce out of sex, for instance. Right? It is totally destroying a whole generation of youth. Right? Think about it this way. When we choose to have multiple partners, and you get an STD, right? That's why God says we got to wait till we're married, right? We got to wait. That's the healthy way to do it. God didn't say these things to restrict you, but God's saying, I know the best way for you to live a healthy, happy life. I'm looking at the big picture here, folks. That's what God's saying. And I know what's going to make you happy here. It may not feel like it here, right? What about giving? God says to give 10% of your income, household income, right? That's really restrictive. That sounds like, oh, man, that means I don't have... By the time I pay bills, let me see, that's less for me, right? But the thing is, at the time when we're younger, maybe that's the case. It may feel that way. But God knows in the long haul what an awesome habit that is. Because it spills into other areas of your life. That sacrificial giving. That giving that because of giving out of your abundance is what I'm trying to say. You see, God gives us things that may feel restrictive, but in the end, it is freedom if we follow God's moral laws. How about you? Are there things that as you look back on your life, it's made things harder? Things that you've done in your life that made your life harder? Maybe it's forgiving. Is there someone in your life that you need to forgive? You know, it's interesting in that concept that, and I don't want you to forgive just to be more healthy, but on the other hand, if you forgive, you will be more healthy. Because most of the people who you understand that you need to forgive, they don't even realize they've done anything wrong to need forgiveness. So they're going on with their happy lives, and what about you? You're getting eaten up on the inside, right? Because you're angry or aggravated. Just forgive and let go. Forgive and let go. You see, James says, those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, the law of freedom, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. Before I close, I just want to move us to a couple other scriptures to get Jesus' voice in this. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Just want to share with you some words of Christ in this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus said, Matthew 7, 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And then he goes on to say, the rains fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall. What is the house in that scripture? What does that mean for us? What is the house in that scripture? Yeah, your life. That's you and me, right? Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who builds his life on a rock. Who do you think the rock is? Jesus, yes. The rains fall, the floods come, right? In our life, isn't that true? The winds blow and they beat on me, you. But we will not fall. Because our lives are founded on Christ. One more, Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Beginning with verse 31. I'm just going to read enough of this that you hear the concept. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, the sheep, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now stick with me here. For I was hungry, and you... I was thirsty, and you? I was a stranger, and you? I was naked, and you? I was sick, and you? I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. There we go. And so he's saying, let's move on to the left hand here. Move on down to, first of all. And the king will answer them, if you skip down to 40, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. And then he turns to those on his left hand. And very quickly, he just said, Depart from me into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels, for I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Right? Now, we don't know why some did and some didn't. We have no idea. But Jesus clearly says there's a difference between the doers and those who merely hear, didn't he? There's a difference between the doers and those who merely hear. And that's exactly what James is saying. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of freedom, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for your word. And all, we are far from perfect people, God, and I just ask that you would anoint us fully with your Spirit to give us strength and courage. Help us, Lord, to be doers of your word. Help us, God, give us the strength and the courage. Help us, those of us that are men, be men enough, and those that are women, be women enough to stand up and speak your word. Do your word. Help our belief change our life, God. We ask this in Jesus' holy name.